the Chidushi Aran brings down that they were God-fearing people in Germany, in Arce Almania, who used to practice magic. And he's bothered, how is it that they're permitted to practice magic? Aren't they being over on the Isser of Kishuf and on all the other Yisurim that are associated with magic? So I want to come back and review the six different ways in which magic can be permissibly practiced, some of which were found in the Gemara, some of which are found in Rishonim. So there are two ways for permissible magic that are found in the Gemara itself. The first is Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah, exactly how it works, Rashi says that it's not really magic. It means that people are studying the Sefer Yetzirah, and Mimela HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to create something for them. So they're not even doing anything. They're learning Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to create something for them. The Stipler brings down a similar example that we find in many places in Gemara, that the Chachamim, they got upset at somebody, and you know, they looked at them, and the person whom they looked at was burnt up. So the Stipler wants to know, is this considered being mazik with magic, or is it considered like a grama, or is it even less than a grama? So he explains that according to many Achronim, what happened here is not, there's no cause and effect. What happened was that the tzaddik got upset, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the tzaddik got upset, so Mimela, he caused an onish to come down. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the person who created the animal or the golem with the Sefer Yetzirah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the person who brought the onish, who brought the fire which consumed the one who made the tzaddik upset. It wasn't actually at all a direct creation. And that's the way that Rashi understands Sefer Yetzirah, which is permissible. However, Rabbeinu Yerucham and perhaps others understand, perhaps the Rosh, that Sefer Yetzirah is very similar to Maisa Shedim, which implies that there is some sort of an act of creation which is being performed by the tzaddik itself, but never by the tzaddik himself. But nevertheless, this act of creation is permissible because it's being done through the Shemos HaKedusha and not through the Kochos HaToma. So therefore, it is permitted. So that's the one type of magic which is permitted in the Gemara, Sefer Yetzirah. The second type of magic that we find in the Gemara itself that's permitted is magic Lehislamid, and that's on the Gemara on Daf Samach Ches. All the way at the end, the Rebbe Eliezer demonstrated certain types of magic to Rebbe Akiva in order that Rebbe Akiva should be well versed in the halacha, so that he should know, according to some people, according to some Rishonim, I think maybe the Rambam, that he should know if he ever had to judge a Mechashev, he should know all the different types of Kishuf in order to be able to judge the Mechashev, you know, and properly. Maybe even just to know Pshat in the Pesukim. Right? According to Tosfos in Menachos, that people need to know Kishuf, because let's say that that they have to bring witches or magicians to trial, and we know that people who know about Kishuf, they can prevent themselves from being killed with the Arba Misos Bastin. So therefore, the Dayanim need to know Kishuf in order to fulfill the halacha that if you can't kill per people who are Chayiv Miso with the Arba Misos Bastin, you should kill them b'chol ma sheyuchal. So if you can't kill a Mechashev with any of the classical means of execution, you have to kill them with Kishuf. And that's why Dayanim need to know Kishuf. One way or another, there definitely is a toeles for Dayanim and Chachamim for knowing Kishuf, so therefore to perform Kishuf in order to teach it to Chachamim is permitted. The Meiri is supposed to say that it's only permitted to do this for a Talmud Chacham who's not going to be led astray by the Kishuf, and who's also not going to use it to lead others astray, but for ordinary people who don't spend their lives in the pursuit of discovering and discerning the Ratzon Hashem and implementing the Ratzon Hashem and helping others implement the Ratzon Hashem, for ordinary people who spend their lives in other pursuits, so then it would not be permitted to demonstrate Kishuf for them to learn. It's only permitted for Talmidei Chachamim to learn. But one way or another, we see that Lehislamid is also mutter. Now it's interesting because the Yad Ramah explains that Lehislamid doesn't simply mean that that you're allowed to perform Kishuf in order for other people to learn. He says you're allowed to perform Kishuf under a wide variety of circumstances. We already saw Tosfos in Menachos, who says that Kishuf may be performed in order to execute people who are Chayiv Misa, but whom the four Misos based in was unable to execute in a conventional manner. The Ramah says that any type of practice of Kishuf that's not done for one's personal benefit is permitted. Kishuf is done for personal benefit, so that's the way that the goyim used to perform kishuf, which is asur. But if kishuf is done for altruistic purposes and only for altruistic purposes, then it's mutter to perform. So that is a whole range. Kishuf can be mutter to make the lives of people better. It can be mutter to cure people who are ill. It can be mutter to make sure that crops grow well. It's a very, very broad heter that the Ramah seems to give, that any altruistic kishuf is mutter. The Bach, you know, seems to give a similar expansive, if not as expansive, of a heter. He says that kishuf is mutter if it's for hatzalah, or hatzalah from some sort of an illness, or hatzalah from some sort of an oppressor. That type of kishuf, for hatzalah is klal yisrael, not for necessarily only for hatzalah of an individual or for hatzalah of the self, but hatzalah of the klal, for sure kishuf is mutter. And he says that this is bichlal, the heter to perform kishuf lehislami, because lehislami doesn't mean literally just to teach. You can perform kishuf for other reasons than to teach, as long as it's not for selfish reasons. Those are the two heterim for kishuf that are found in the Gemara, Sefer Yetzirah and kishuf lehislami. Then there are four other types of kishuf that come up in Yishonim that may be permissible. Number one, as we discussed earlier, there is a discussion about kishuf al yidei shedim, kishuf with shedim, where there's one tzad in the Rosh that it's entirely, or in the Ran, that it's entirely permissible. The only type of kishuf which is asur is a kishuf that involves malachi chavala, angels of destruction, or a kishuf that involves playing around with the fundamental forces of nature, with perhaps the four yesodos, the way that, you know, those were the building blocks that people believed in the Middle Ages that nature was made up of. It was made up of air and water and earth and fire. So if you manipulate those in the wrong way, or if you manipulate the malachim, who are in charge of each different aspect of nature, that's kishuf. But simply to cause shadim to do things for you, that would be permitted according to the Rosh or the Ran. And then there's another deal also found in the Rosh that says that it's only mutar to ask things from the shadim, but not to ask the shadim to do things for you, which goes into divination and fortune telling, which we discussed even earlier than that. But one way or another, maisa shadim maybe a third type of kishuf, which is mutar. We should note, though, that the Ramah says that there's no difference between shedim and any other type of kishuf. Just like regular kishuf is asur, kishuf with shedim is also going to be asur. And then a fourth type of kishuf, which may be mutar, that we saw, is anything that works. The Rambam says that kishuf is all nonsense, it's bogus. So therefore, and it's asur to trick people into thinking that supernatural forces exist when they do not, because that's going to lead them to have irrational or foolish beliefs, and it may lead them to act in a foolish manner based on these foolish beliefs. So therefore, basically anything that works, a magnet that works, a compass that works, a light bulb that works, and certainly anything else, certain cures, medicines that work, even though we don't necessarily understand them, but if they work, they can't be kishuf, because kishuf is all false and illogical. If something is based on psychology when it comes to matters of fortune telling, so then again, it's permitted. The only thing that's asur are things that don't work, right? Or again, if something works and a person pretends that it's supernatural and it's working through occult forces, then that's a separate isser. But to practice something that works and to simply state this is natural, this is scientific, that would be mutter according to the Rambam. So that's a fourth heter. A fifth heter is achizas inayim. If something only involves achizas inayim, but that's not really a heter for magic, that's simply a heter for sleight of hand, according to Reb Moshe Feinstein and according to the Kloisenberger Rebbe. Sleight of hand is permitted because there's no yitzira al yidei kishuf, there's no use of kishuf to create a new object that didn't exist, nor is there even any sort of occult preparations or meisim that are involved to create an illusion or to gain some sort of an insight into the future through occult means. All it involves is kalos hatenua, the way that Akkadim say it, it's swiftness of movement. So therefore, that type of kishuf would be permitted according to many achronim. And that's the type of magic which is performed at birthday parties, or the way that the Chachmas Adam says it, at weddings. And that type of kishuf of kalos hatenua, sleight of hand, according to many achronim, would be mutter, but that doesn't mean that it's appropriate or desirable, especially when that type of sleight of hand is passed off as real magic, especially to audiences of children who can't tell the difference. So there are many achronim who say that it is forbidden Ideally, if a person is doing magic via sleight of hand, he should make it clear to all those who are observing that it's simply his skill and dexterity and speed which is responsible for the seeming wonders that he performs, and that it is not anything which is occult or supernatural, because that would be over on the Isra of Kishuf according to the Rambam and according to the Chachmas Adam. Then finally, the sixth heter for Kishuf, which may be included under the Islami, but may be indeed a separate heter, and that is in a case of sakonas nefashos, where Rashi says that if a person is being chased by wild animals, he's permitted to be chover chover, he's permitted to charm them in order that they should not kill him. And that's a heter for sakonas nefashos, and this heter is very important because one might have thought, like the Rambam, who says that Kishuf is a subcategory of Avodah Zarah, and we know that by Avodah Zarah there is a mitzvah of Yeharig the Al Yavar. A person is supposed to sacrifice his life rather than be over on Avodah Zarah. So one might, and that not only applies to actual service of Avodah Zarah, it applies to even Abizrayu to Avodah Zarah, to anything which is remotely associated to a degree with Avodah Zarah. So one might have thought that Kishuf is Abizrayu to Avodah Zarah. The Rambam includes it in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So you may have thought that one has to risk his life rather than perform Kishuf. So it's a chiddush on the part of Rashi that one is permitted to perform Kishuf when his life is in danger, that it's not bechlal, those mitzvos which are yeharig val yavor. So again, the six different types of Kishuf that are mutter are number one, Sefer Yetzirah, number two, Kishuf which is performed lihislamid, which may mean anything altruistic, number three, Kishuf that involves shadim according to one opinion in the Rosh, number four, Kishuf that works, meaning something which is science rather than magic, even if it appears magical, as long as you don't try to mislead people into believing in occult forces, so then performance of anything which works, even if it resembles magic, is mutter. Number five was achizas inayim through kalos hatenua, sleight of hand or dexterity and skill, which also, you know, it's totally natural, but it resembles magic, but it would still be mutter according to many achronim. And certainly it's mutter if one doesn't try to pass it off as magic. And then finally, magic for sakonas nefashos is the sixth type of magic, which is mutter.